bottom of Daf Gimel Amud Beis in Bava Basra, approximately 5 lines from the end. We're in the middle of the story concerning the rise of Herod, Hordus, to position of power. We saw last time he killed off his masters, the Hasmonean household, and he had set his eyes of lust upon a particular young girl, and she committed suicide. She wanted to have no part of his designs, and yet he took the body, and as the Gemara picks up, we continue reading toward the end of the line, Tomno Sheva Shonin Vedusha. He preserved the body in honey. Apparently honey worked as a preservative for 7 years. Iko Diamri Bo'alel, Iko Diamri Lo Bo'alel. Some versions say that he had relations with her, and some say no. We had underlined there the two expressions, the Iko Diamri, those are two opinions we wanted to highlight, and as the Gemara goes on, it's going to explain the two opinions, and notice the Aleph and Beis that we had in parentheses, we're now going to see the Aleph and Beis repeated to connect with those two opinions. The Amri Lo Bo'alel, those that said the Aleph opinion that he had relations, that which he preserved her in the honey was for practical purposes. It was enable him to satisfy his lusts physically. The Amri law, the Bey's opinion, that was that second opinion that said lo-ba-la, that he didn't have actual relations with her. Hi, the Tumna, that which he preserved her in the honey. Heshi, the Nomru, Bey's bas melech nosav, so that people would say, oh, here's his wife. He married the daughter of kings, namely the remnant of the Hasmonean household. There is his wife. We continue with Hordus and his comments. Omar, that's Hordus said. And we have a semicolon here, a colon marking indicating this is what he's about to say. As that one should not misread the Gemara and read Omar Man. It's rather Omar. Hordus said, Man Dorish. Who is it that darshens that posuk, the posuk from which we learn that the king is supposed to be from a Jewish heritage, Jewish background, and thereby excluding someone who is from a slave, a servant background? Who is it that darshens this posuk? Rabbonan, it's the rabbis. Come, katlinu l'kulu rabbonan. This raised his ire, his wrath. He, an act of revenge, so to speak, he arose and killed all of the sages. Now Tosus points out the last Tosus on the page, the Gemara mentioned Katim Lekulu Rabbanan. We'll look at the Tosus inside. Lav Dafka Lekulu. This is not to suggest he killed literally every one of the sages. Ve'ohavu b'nei b'seiro. There were the B'nai B'Seira, these were people that were the leaders of Am Yisrael at the point in history when Hillel, the famous sage of Mishnaic fame, came to Eretz Yisrael from Bavel. In that particular parak, it mentions that the B'nai B'Seira were contemporaries of his. The Hillel Hoya B'nai Abayas Me'al Shana. Hillel lived before the destruction of the Second Temple. He lived 100 years prior to the destruction. Kedamim Perakamah de Shabbos. Umachus Hordus Hoya B'nai Abayas Kuf Gimel Shana. Kedamim Perakamah de Vodazora. And the Herod dynasty was 103 years before the destruction of the temple. So you see that there were sages around during the Herod dynasty. So when Gemara here mentions he killed off all the Rabbanim, and then killed off many Rabbanim, but not all of them. There's another technical point here, but I think it has some significance. It's addressed by the Tosus just before this. The Gemara mentioned that Herod seemed to be angry with the Rabbanim that darshan the Pasuk. You could say, what did he have to be angry at the Rabbanim for? The Pasuk says. Why take your anger out at the Rabbanim? So the Tosus explains why the wrath was taken out upon the Rabbanim. So he says, I'll read inside, Man Dorish Miker Bachecho Rabbanan, that's the Tosus, the second to last one on the page. The Pashte Dekro Lo Mashma Limute Ede Shihu Achicho B'Mitzvus Ela Oivik Kechoven. The simple reading of the Pasuk, when it says, appoint a king from amongst your brethren, who is that excluding? So the simple reading would be, it excludes, not servants, it excludes non-Jews, Gentiles. However, a servant in Jewish law is considered a brother in the form of mitzvahs. He has mitzvahs similar to those of a woman. He has the same mitzvah obligation. So he's considered your ach. So when the Pasuk says, Mikarev Achecha, from amongst your brothers, he is your brother. Oh, so what happened here? The Rabbonin Darshu, however, the Rabbonin moved in, and they darshan the Pasuk, they expounded on the verse, to explain, Mimuvchar Sheva Achecha, from the choice of your brothers. Meaning, from those that are commanded in mitzvahs fully, as opposed to the Eved, which is only commanded in partial mitzvahs. So it's the Rabbonin, so to speak, that were the ones that that excluded Herod from really being a king. Continuing Gemara, we're at the bottom of Daf Gimel Amud Beis. Shavkei Lebova ben Buta, the Mishkal Eitz Minas. He killed off many Rabbonin, but he left Bova ben Buta as a survivor. He left him around so he could seek counsel from him. However, he blinded him. And how did he do that? Ahader le klila de yali. He surrounded his head, Bova ben Buta's head, with the skin and the bristles of a particular animal known as a yali. The Rashi points out it's the anoka that's mentioned in Sefer Vayikra. So he took a yali skin with its bristles, and the bristles pierced his eyes, nakrinu le'enei, and it pierced his eyes, blinding him. We now have a rather dramatic encounter between Hordus and Bova ben Buta. There's a comment on the outside of your margin called Tatna, say a subcategory, sub-subject. It says there, Nisyonos shel Hordus, the attempts of Hordus, shebo b'masvei, came incognito, lahasit et Bova ben Buta lekalel oso, to try to instigate Bova ben Buta to curse him, Herod. Of course, having Bova ben Buta not realize who he was talking to, he wanted to see Bova ben Buta's reaction, as Herod wanted to see Bova ben Buta's reaction. Yumachat, one day, Osa, the Yosid Kamei, Hordus came, sat in the presence of Bova ben Buta, Omar, and as you know from your Gemara learning, there are pronouns that are found throughout the Shas. It's very important when you're learning to follow who the speaker is, who the pronoun is. Hence, from time to time, we write in the Shas Ozir edition who the speaker is. So, Omar, Hordus said, Chazimar, hi, Abdo Bisha, my Bovid, do you see what this bad Abdo Bisha, this negative, this bad slave has done? Omar, my Abdo Bisha. So, Bova Beluda responded, what can I do about it? Omar, so Hordus said, Milte, more. Milte, person. Omar lay, see, but Bova ben Buta responded, there's a verse that says, Gam bema do'echa melech al tekalel, that even in your mind, you shouldn't curse a king. Omar lay, hailach melechu, so Hordus said about himself, he said, but he's no king. Omar lay, belevi ozhir be'amo, let him be a mere rich man, uksiv, and even regarding someone who's not a king, but has power, has money, it says, Ubechadrei mishkabcha, al tekalel lashir. V'lo heyelo nasi. Bova ben Buta continues saying, let him be a mere leader. Uksi v'nasi bamcha lo sar. And a leader, you shouldn't, lo sar is not the curse. So, Bova ben Buta, so far as responding, I'm constrained. Omalei. So Hordus said, are you quoting the pasuk of v'nasi bamcha? That's not a reason for you not to curse, because that pasuk, when it says don't curse, who's it referring to? Don't curse a proper nasi. Va'oise maisa amcha. V'hai la'voise maisa amcha. When is it forbidden to curse a king? That's when he's oise maisa, when he's a proper, when he's proper behavior. Not someone like this. Omale, bova respond. Yistafino minayim. I'm still afraid of him. Omale. So the Lord just says, what are you afraid of? Lekko inish de ozu de le mole. Da'anov yatya sivna. There's no one around that's going to tell him. There's only me and you that are sitting here. Omar lay. See, Bova Bu says, however, the Pasuk says, Ki o pashamayan yolichetakol, baal kenofayim yagidavar. Everyone's heard the expression, a little birdie told me, and here it is. A bird can fly and carry the message. Omar lay, here,
Purdus reveals himself. Ano hu, I am he. I havo yodano desire upon unto lehai. Had I known, says wisdom of hindsight, had I known that the rabbis were so careful in their behavior, lo have katilna lehu. Let me read that phrase again. It's worth appreciating the leadership that our people have had over the ages. Yavoy yadano, the zari rabbonon pulehai. Had I known that the rabbonon were so careful, lo have katilna lehu, I wouldn't have killed them. Hashka mai katante gu gabro. Purdus continues speaking and says, and so now, what's the solution for Hahu Gavra is an expression you find often, but it's a third person expression referring to himself. What would be my salvation? Omale. So Bava Ben Mutter responds, and we have a note on the side, the Tat Noseg, and it's a sub-category, subject within the larger topic of Purdus. Nasina so Eitza Ayadei Bava Ben Mutter, we're seeking to now see counsel given by Bava Ben Mutter to Purdus. There are two versions. You can see there's a Roman number one, and two lines later, in the middle of the line, there's a scribbled Iko Diamri. That means an alternative opinion will appear, and there's also a Roman number two at that point. So Omar Le, Bava Ben Mutter says, Hu Kova Oro Shel Olam, he, referring to Purdus's actions, he extinguished the light of the world. And the term light is a reference here to the Torah and its scholars, Deftit Kiner Mitzvah, the Torah Or. The Torah and its scholars represent light. Yelech V'yasoy V'oiru Shaloylam. Let him go, the one who extinguished the light, go and involve himself with creating light. Deftiv V'noaru Elov Kol Agoyim. This is a reference to Herod's rebuilding or upgrading the Beis HaMikdash. And the Pasuk here refers to the Beis HaMikdash, when all the nations of the world will stream toward its light, so to speak. Iko Diamri, Hachi Amalei, another version of this is what Bava Ben Mutter said to Purdus. Hu Sima Eino Shalom, he blinded the eye of the world. This pasuk is a reference to a case where the Sanhedrin, the leaders, the scholars of the nation, erred in their judgment, and they're referred to as Einei Ha'idah, the eyes of the people. So you can see from the pasuk they're referred to as the eyes. Yelech v'yisasek be'eino sha'olam, you, Purdus, should go and involve yourself with the eyes of the world. And once again, the eyes here in this case will be a reference to the Beis HaMikdash, which is also considered eye, like we saw in the first Lashon, light referring to the Torah and light referring to the Beis HaMikdash. Here, eye refers to the Torah and eye refers to the Beis HaMikdash. And what does it say? Dechtiv, hineni mechalel es mikdashi, ga'oin uzachem machmad einechem. We've not underlined the word einechem, and in the line before also you see that dot, the dashed underline, me'ene, hence connecting the two key expressions in the Pesukim. Omar Le, Purdus, though he was the leader of the citizenry in Israel at the time, he nevertheless was under the jurisdiction of the Roman Empire. He had to answer to a higher authority. So he says, Mistafino Menachus, I'm afraid of the Malchus, I'm afraid of the Romans. Omar Le, so Bava Mutter says, I have an idea, I have an eitzah for you, how to get around the Roman problem. Shodar shlicha v'lezel shasa, v'la'akev shasa, v'la'adir shasa. Send an emissary, a messenger, to Rome. It'll take him a year to get there. He'll tarry there till he gets an audience with the Senate. It'll take him a year. And then it'll take him a year to get back. Adahochi v'hochi, in the meantime, Sasris lay, Uvonis lay. You can knock down the Beis HaMikdash and rebuild it in a more glorious fashion. Avadhochi, and in fact he did just that. What happened? Sholchule, the Romans sent a message back to him. In Losa Sarsa al Tisor. If you haven't yet knocked down the Beis HaMikdash, they had no interest in the Beis HaMikdash being rehabilitated and improved, etc. So they said to him, if you didn't knock it down, don't bother. The im sasarsa, if you knocked it down, ultimately, don't build it up. The im sasarsa vanisa, if you did both, you knocked it down and refurbished it as well, Avdi Bisha, they say, bad slave. Boser de Avdin Mismachin. After you served as a servant, as a slave, you rose to power. You think you're a king. Im Zainoch Alecha Sifroch Kan. We'll take a look at Rashi for that expression. We'll explain that in the upper part of the narrow lines. Says, im if you're haughty, worship ga'avo, nisga'esa, b'kli milchamtecha, with your weaponry, that you successfully killed off your masters. Nevertheless, sefer yuchsin shelcha b'yodenu hu, yodanu shato eved. Nevertheless, your lineage, your records are in our possession, and we know that you're a slave. And their message continues in the Gemara, Lo Raka Velo Ba Raka. You're not a king and you're not the son of a king. Hordis Avdo Kalanyo Misabe. Hordis the slave made himself free. Kalanyo free, he made himself free. My Raka, since the Gemara used the expression where the Romans said Lo Raka, the Gemara wants to know what's the meaning of that word. So that as we explained before, Malchusa Dechtiv. And the Gemara now gives you a couple sources how you see the word raka has a root in sukkim, indicating monarchy. Number one, dichti, anochi hayom rach u'moshuach melech. You can see the word rach used in the context of someone of him saying, "I have been anointed today king." Biboy seima mehocha. Another pasuk. Referring to Yosef, who became the viceroy of Egypt, and it says there, "Vayikru lefonav avrech." But you notice the word "avrech" at the end of the word is a reish chaf. It's the same expression as was used by the Romans. Amri. The Gemara now comments. We have a period before that indicating a full stop, and now a new speaker within the bigger story. The Gemara says, "Amri, misha lo ra binyan hordus, lo ra binyan noeh iyamav." He who did not see the structure that Hordas made never has not seen a beautiful structure in his life. This same expression of the Gemara appears in Maseches Sukkah, where there are additional descriptions of great beauty that if one didn't see them, so they never really saw greatness. And so one can look up Masuka Nun Aleph, it's referred to by the Masoras Hashatz over here, to see the additional examples. The Mai Banya. Now, he said it was such a beautiful structure. How did he construct it? With what materials? Omar Rova. And here you'll notice there are two opinions. We have an Aleph and then the Skugled Iko de Amri later on the line, indicating an additional opinion. So Omar Rava, the Avne, Shisha, Umir Mura. Different types of stones. Mirmura, Rashi explains, is a white marble. Iko di Amri, v'avne kuchla, shisha u'mirmura. Again, the second opinion adds another stone in its description. Apik sofa, v'ayil sofa. The stones, the rows of stones, were wasn't a smooth face building, but rather one row protruded, and the other row was set in, and likewise it went up the wall in that fashion, with a row protruding and a row set in, protruding, set in. And what was the reason for that? Kihechi the nikbal sida, so that it would create a stronger bond with the cement to hold the rows together. Savar lemichpe bedava. This idea arose in his mind that he would coat the walls with gold. Amule Rabbanan. Rabbanan seemed to be more interested in external beauty than in opulence. They said, Shafke, leave it as is. The Hachi Shafitfe, the appearance that these multiple colored stones give the exterior of the Beis Hamikdash, give it the following. It looks nicer. The Merci ki ibtisa the Yoma. It appears as waves of the sea. It looks like it creates a visual impression as of waves. Moore now asks a question. Here we have a marking we call a long question marking. It's indicated by the letter kuf, like a kushya, extending for about five lines. These five lines contain a question. And before we go into that, we're going to look at the side of our Gemara. We have a note called Nosei. The topic that will be discussed here is Eich Nosan Bava Ben Buta Eitzel L'Hurdus. How could Bava Ben Buta have given counsel to Hurdus? Me'achas Shedoniel Ne'anash B'Nesinas Eitzel L'Nebuchadnezzar. We find historically that Doniel, who lived earlier than Hurdus, was during the period between the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni, where he gave counsel to Nebuchadnezzar, who destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash, and we find that Doniel was punished for that. The Gemara now asks, Hechi Ovid Hachi, how could he do thusly? What's the thusly? Give counsel to Hurdus. Amar Rav Yehuda Amara became Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Mitneima Ne'anash Doniel. Why was Doniel punished? Later, the Gemara will explain what his onesh was. Mitnei Shehesi Eitzel Nebuchadnezzar, because he gave counsel to Nebuchadnezzar, Shinemar, and the Pasuk is in Aramaic, as a large portion of Sefer Doniel is in Aramaic, and it says as follows, Lohen Malko Milki Yishpar Aloch V'chata'och V'tzdoka Fruk. A little background we should have given to this event. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, call it a nightmare, where upon awakening he was full of fright. And Doniel was in his court of counselors, and he sought advice from Doniel. What should I do about this? About the vision that I had? And Doniel is responding to him that he's saying to the king that if you want to have a pleasant existence, and have your sins forgiven, so we're in the middle of the line where he says, "Vitzdoka fruk." The Av Yosef, the Michan Anyin, Hein Teve Arko Lishal Lishle Vosof. The providing of charity and kindness to the poor will serve to extend your kingdom so that is to assuage his fears. Uksiv, the Sukkim explain what happened eventually. There was Kola Mota Nebuchadnezzar Malka, that all of the fears that he had actually came upon him. However, Uksiv Uliksas Yarchin Treyosur, but didn't come immediately. He had a reprieve, if you will, of 12 months. So that you see that the counsel that Doniel provided Nebuchadnezzar bore fruit, the positive fruit. So the question ends over here. What's our question? We see that Doniel gave counsel to Nebuchadnezzar, and we're told that Doniel was punished for that. So how could Bava ben Buta provide the same type of service to Hurdus? The Gemara explains. Eboy Esema, one opinion is, Shiny Abdo, the Chayav Mitzvah. It's very good that we saw the Tosis before. The relationship between Neil and Nebuchadnezzar is not the same as the relationship between Bava ben Buta and Hurdus. Hurdus was at least a servant. As such, he is Chayav Mitzvah, thereby not being at the same low level as Nebuchadnezzar. Viboy Seimo, Shiny Beis HaMikdash. The matter at hand was counsel concerning not some kind of personal benefit for Nebuchadnezzar, for Hurdus, and ending right there, but it concerned the Beis HaMikdash. The E, Lo Malchus Lo Misri, if not for the monarchy being involved, it wouldn't have been rebuilt. So he had to give counsel. Bava Buta had to give counsel to Hurdus, because that was the only way for the Beis HaMikdash to be refurbished. The Gemara asks, "V'Doniel Menolan Yanish," and from where do we know that Doniel was punished for giving counsel to Nebuchadnezzar? Ilemo Mishum Dechiv. If you want to suggest, based on a pasuk that's found in Megillas Esther, which is a historical event that happens to be more or less at the same time, just shortly after, just a few kings after Nebuchadnezzar, there arose the Persian dynasty, of which Ahasuerus was a part. And it says in Megillas Esther, Vatikra Esther Lahasoch, that's the posuk. Esther summoned the Hasoch, the Omar Rav Hasoch Zedoniel, and Hasoch is a reference to Daniel. So where do we see an element of negativity here? So Mora says, Hanichal Imadomer Shechatfu Migaduso, that this idea that Hasoch is being a reference to Daniel, and why was he called that? Because he was cut down from Chotach. Hasoch, the hay and the ches interchange. Hasoch is Chotach. He was cut down from his previous grandeur. So then we can understand that from the time of Nebuchadnezzar, where he enjoyed glory, till the time of Achashverosh and Esther, where he's cut down from his glory. So that's his punishment, being cut down from enjoying the niceties of leadership. Elolamad Yomar. But there's another opinion as to what the meaning of Hasaf is, and that is Shekol Divrei Malchus Nechtochin Alpid, that all matters of the monarchy, all rulings of the monarchy, have to be signed by him, so to speak, that are literally let's say okayed by him. That's Nechtochim Alpid, that he has to approve them. Word Hasaf again Chotach, but here the expression meaning he has to give his approval to them. So that's we see that he's still in the time of Achashverosh, he was way up there. So my equal Amemar, where do we see Daniel being punished according to this opinion? Answer: Ishadu leguva darvi the Arav Yosef, that he was sent to the lion's den. That experience, even though he was saved, it was a miraculous event. But you can imagine the fear involved in being thrown into such a position. That event was his punishment. We now refer back to the Mishnah that opened our parak, and it mentioned that the construction of the walls between properties, between the chatzeros, is we mentioned a number of building materials, and then it also said hakol kamina gamadina. What does this word hakol come to include? Because one could have read the Mishnah, leave out this expression, and we would have seen a list of materials. What are you coming to add by this additional expression hakol kamina gamadina? Someone asks hakol. That's in quotation marks. It's a rip, because that was the word from the Mishnah. La suye mai. What is being included by way of building materials? La suye asra, to include a place. The Nihigi, where their custom of construction is Behutza Vedapna, where they use mere branches to construct barriers between properties. That's Hutza Vedapna, branch type material. And if that's their minig of wall construction, so be it. So then that's all that could be imposed from one neighbor on the other, filled with the branches. Also a quote from the Mishnah, where the Mishnah said that if the wall falls down, the place that was occupied by the wall and the materials are to be split between the two neighbors. More asks, Pshita, that's obvious. And very often, you have to find out, you have to define while you're learning, what is the point that the Gemara feels is obvious. So here we have a note to look at Rashi. You find in the middle of the page, Rashi says, Pshita, did ho'avonim shel shneihem. It's obvious that the stones belong to the two parties. Afilu lo posak londino de masnisin hamalamdenu she mikhila ben shneihem asua. Even if the Mishnah had not told us explicitly that the wall is constructed by the two of them together, al kochamo yu cholke b'shovo avonim, they would have divided the stones anyway amongst the two of them. Share birshu shneihem munachim, v'yadni mehem tigbar. Hare, the wall is sitting right now, but the wall collapsed. So where are the stones sitting? In both of their properties. So who would be victorious over the other anyway? So from that standpoint, the Mishnah didn't really have to say that the Avonim are Shneihem. It's obvious. It fell. All the materials are basically split between the two properties right now. The Gemara explains, I'll tell you where it wouldn't have been so obvious. Namely, where the Mishnah had to tell me it's split between the two. Lo, Sricha. This is an expression you find all over the Shas. And it really should be read, Lo, Sricha. Or it's not like you thought that it's Pashit. Rather, it's needed to be told. Number one, the nofal the reshus of the chad minayu. That may be a quirk of gravity over here, or something maybe in the original construction that caused all of the stones to fall to one of their properties. So as far as what Rashi raised before as an assumption that it fell into both of their domains and hence no one would have strength over the other to claim ownership, no, in this case it actually fell to one side. So the Mishnah tells me that even if, though that's what took place, they'll split the materials. Inami, the paninu chad rishus adidei, that it might have fallen into the rishus of both of them, but one of them cleared all the materials before they came to court over the matter, cleared all the materials to one side. Mau detemo neve idoch, one might have thought that let the other one, the one who's claiming, be the following. There's a phrase marking around, you see these singular quotation marks, four words. He would be, maybe, let's consider him hamotzi mechavero olav haraya, that the one who's trying to extract from the other fellow, upon him is the burden of proof. Komashmon, the Mishnah reveals, no, he doesn't have to bring additional proof. sufficient to know that the wall had been between the two neighbors, and they will thereby split the materials. We have a topic noted on the side of our Gemara under Nosei, Binyan Koisel v'she'ein minig, construction of a wall where there isn't any particular minig concerning wall construction. One will be Bestam Gina. It means a Gina where there's no known practice. And number two, Bestam Bika. We mentioned a Bika would be a grain field where a wall had been constructed between two grain fields, but there is no minig. More continues. V'chein v'gina, mokom shenagu lidor mechayven oso. Literally, the Mishnah is saying that likewise in a gina, where the minig is to construct a wall between the gina and the adjacent property, we force the construction, we force the two parties to contribute to the construction of such a wall between the gina and adjacent other property. More says, if you read the Mishnah carefully with the diuk approach, where inference, reading with inference, we're going to notice an inherent contradiction in the Mishnah. And here it is. Ha gufo kasha, there's an inherent contradiction in the Mishnah. Amris, it said on the one hand, there's a framed section, so this is a quote from the Mishnah. V'chein v'gina mokom shenoagu lidor mechayven oso. We infer, ha stama, the Mishnah referred to a gina where there was a custom to build. What about a gina, where we call stam gina, where there is no specific custom? What would we infer? Ein mechayven oso. Then there would be no forcing of the other party to contribute to the wall. Fine. At this point then, we have stam gina, and we've not underlined ein mechayven oso. Bear that in mind. Ein o seifa. We continue reading the seifa, the continuation of the Mishnah. Avo bifa. Mokom shenagu shelo lidor, ein mechayven oso. However, a grain field where there is a minig not to construct. It says mokom shenagu shelo lidor. It said where there's a minig not to construct, ein mechayven oso. So we can't force the neighboring party to contribute. Ha stama. Let's say there is no minig. It's the stam situation. Mechayven oso. When did we say ein mechayven oso? When the minig was to not construct, there was a minig in the negative. What if there's a neutral situation, the stam situation? So we infer that we would force the construction of a wall. But now, let's think about that, about in light of what was mentioned in the ratio. Hashta, stam gina, amris lo. The neutral gina, the gina being a situation where there is hevek ri'ia. And you said over there, you said the stam gina, if you go back two lines, the markings help to embolden the expression. You see stamo, ein mechayven oso, two lines before. We said in a stam gina, where there is a hezek ri'ia factor, we said there is no forced construction. Stam bika mibaya. A stam bika, would you think that there is the building? And yet, what did we conclude from the seifa, a line before? You notice the line before at the end of the line said, stamo, stam bika, we are mechayev. But logically, that doesn't hold water in light of what was said in the ratio. If a stam dino, no, then a stam bika, certainly not. So why in the seifa did you say yes? We have the following symbol surrounding Abaye, and later surrounding Rava, indicating that these opinions are connected with one another. Abaye offers his understanding of the Mishnah what as follows. Omar Abaye, Hochi ko Omar. V'chein, stam, gina, the neutral case of gina, and uvemokoim shenoagu ligdor bebeka, and a place where there is a positive minig in bika to construct, mechayven oso. So two situations, neutral gina and bika where there's positive minig to construct, we are mechayev the parties to contribute. Omar le Rava im kein my avol. According to your reading of the Mishnah, how does the original word avol fit in? And we have arrows here, and notice the dotted expressions. The arrow before, there's three lines up. It's pointing to the line which was a direct quote from Mishnah where it said avol dekha, meaning the word avol is a contrast word. According to Abaye's reading, there seems to be a paralleling of gina with dekha. The Mishnah's intent, though, is contrast. So how do you see that in your reading? Elo amar Rava, hachi katani. Rava, in the Shas Ozer, Shas HaMasuman edition, we treat not only direct quotes from Tanaic material in frames, but also reconstructions we treat as if it's Tanaic material, and hence they appear also in frames. So he says, hachi katani. Notice the expression that's double underlined, it's to connect, create a visual connection with the previous hachi katani that Abaye had. Now this is Rava's rereading. V'chein stam gina kit mokom shenoagu libdor domi u'mechay ben aso. The neutral gina situation would be treated as if there was a positive practice to construct the wall. Avol. Here's the contrast word, and we dashed underlined the avol because that's the key word that needs explanation. Avol stam biko kimokom shelo noagu domi vein mechay ben aso. The neutral bika, as opposed to the neutral gina, neutral bika is a place where there was a minig not to construct, and therefore neutral bika we would not enforce building. The Mishnah quote from the Mishnah: Ela im rotsa kines l'soch shelo vone ve'ose chazis mi bachutz. On the outside of our margin, we have nosei / nivne, where we combine in our explanation the topic with the structure of the Gemara. We have this volcano shape. These are deos basias chazis, the mishabona kosa besoch shelo. We had seen in the Mishnah already that if there was no minig, like in the Bika where there was a minig not to build, so if you ever want a wall, so build it on your own property with your own materials, and how will the public know who the constructor of the wall is? So there was a sign made from the pasted on, so to speak, the outside of the wall. I say pasted on, but we're going to see detailed reference to the actual creation of this sign. My chazis. The Gemara wants to know, what is this chazis that the Mishnah referred to? Let's just, before we can proceed, we just should take note of the structure of the Gemara. We've got Rav Huna, and in the margin between Rashi and the Gemara, there's a 1, and we have 1 Aleph, and then there's going to be a Beis. What's the Beis? The Beis is a reference to an Iko Diamri that you see a few lines later, an alternative opinion as to what Rav Huna says. So Rav Huna represents the first opinion, but within Rav Huna there are two versions. That's the Aleph and Beis. The last line of the Gemara, you see another name with a volcano around it, and a number 2, that's already a new opinion, the Rav Yochanan. So, in explaining what is Chazis, Omar Rav Huna, Achpe Le Lekarno Lebar. To appreciate this a bit more, one would look in the Pirush Chai. It's a sefer of illustrations authored by Rav Chaim Porush, and we're looking at picture 41. Where you see that there's some cement and stones that are attached to the upper part of the stone wall, and it thickens the top part of the outside of that wall, indicating that the person on the inside is the one that constructed the wall. That's what this expression means. We read it in the Gemara, Achpe Le Lekarno Lebar. It's the addition of stones and cement to the outside of the wall. Bar is outside. Mor asks, V'nevid Milagav, why not make it from the inside, from within your side? Answer, if you were to do that, Ovid Chavre Nami Milabar, the neighbor on the other side will do the same thing on the outside of the wall, namely the side facing the neighbor. The Omar, and then claim, Didi
Vididei, who the wall was constructed by both of us. You have these two thickenings, two protrusions on the top of the wall from both sides, indicating both of them constructed. More asks, well, Ihachi, if that's your hesber as to why not to make it on the inside, because the neighbor would then do it on his side, Ihachi Hashtonami, well, with your suggestion, I mean, that we make it initially on the outside of the wall, Gaius Lechavrei, the friend, will come along and cut it off. The Omar, and they'll have a wall without any signs on it, and he'll claim Didi, it's a jointly constructed wall. So the Gemara answers, Gizuza Meida Yadia. Right? Cutting off will be obvious. It'll be obvious there was foul play if that happens. We have this expression with a double underline and additional dots in it to distinguish it from the double underlines that appeared before. This is not related to what was said before, and you'll see that this marking will help to make stand out the difference between the Aleph Lashon and the Beis Lashon, which we haven't learned yet. Iko Diami. Now the second version of Rav Huna, Omar Rav Huna. How? This is an answer to the question of my chazis. What is chazis? So he says, Michpa lekarno milegav. Would be the same thing as we suggested before, but in this case, make a thickening of the wall from within. Milegav, from within. Veneved milabar. Well, why not make it from the outside? Or answers, Gayez le chavrei. The friend will come along and cut it off. The Omar, and we'll now have a wall with no sign on it, and he'll say, Didi vididei hu, that the wall was constructed by both of us. Ihachi, so Gemara asks, Hashtonami, well, according to the recommendation that you gave of making it from within, Laif le chavrei, the neighbor could come along and connect, Laif would be connect a chazis from his side. Fiomar Didi Vididei Hu. The Rabbeinu Gershom, you'll find on the very last line of the page. He says there, Hashtonami Layafle, Klomar, Yichabrein Lekoisel Betit, below Shkia. The neighbor will come and make a sign, or make this the attachment of stone and cement from the outside, however, without having it set in to the depth of the construction material of the stones. You see, when the first guy made it, he made it as part of the construction of the wall, set in. That's shakua, set in, embedded. However, the neighbor who's practicing foul play, the Gemara suggested, he'll attach it, but the Rabbeinu Gershom, very importantly, you'll see why, he says, without having it embedded. The Gemara continues. Oh, if that's what your fear is, you have nothing to fear. The pufa meida yadia. Mere attachment from the outside is still recognizable. And here we'll go again and look into the Rabbeinu Gershom. He says, meida yadia, yechoyvim lahavim. People will be able to discern ulahavchin bein divuka lishkia, between something that was simply stuck on, as opposed to something that was embedded. According to Rav Huna, version Beis, what was the explanation of making the chazis? It was constructed from within. However, when we read the Mishnah, and in fact you could see it in our Shas Ozer edition, with six lines from the bottom of the page, we had written in to the quote from the Mishnah, it's an Oseh Chozes, and we have the word written in there, Mibachutz. You know, so the reason that we wrote it in was that you don't have to look back at the Mishnah and understand the Gemara's Kasha right now. The Gemara asks, Taha Mibachutz Katani. How can you say make the sign from within when the Mishnah says that it's supposed to be made from without? Kasha. This poses a technical difficulty for the Rav Huna Beis version. Rav Yochanan, he's in a volcano shape because he's also serving to answer the question of chazis. What is chazis? Rav Yochanan Omar, Nishayei v'amso milabar. Smear some cement
from the outside of the wall. Asks the Nevad Milagav, why not have the smearing of the cement from within? Answer, Ovid Chavrei Milavar, the Omar, Didi, the Videhu, all the neighbor then did the same thing from his side and claimed the wall, both of ours. Well, according to your suggestion that you're supposed to smear it in initially from the outside, Hashtanami the Kofiu Le Chavrei, the Omar, Didi, the Videhu, the neighbor will come and peel it off and claim it's ours. He says that is not a, that should be no source of fear for us. Ki lufa me da yabia. Peeling off will be obvious. We'll see that there have been foul play. Period. The Gemara continues with, and we have just indicated on our outside margin the notsein with me. Deot, we wrote in the inyan atzias chazis v'mechitzas chutzah. Let's say they constructed a wall made of branch material. Branches are supposed to stone construction, wood construction using branches. How do you deal with the problem of making a chazis under such circumstances? Chutzah. And we indicated the diamonds are deos, our opinions addressing the topic of making the sign on the chutzah wall. So, Omar of Nachman, Snoopy, Yerechi, Milabar. Rashi says at the on the upper part of the page, Snoopy, Yerechi, Milabar, Roshe Ahutim, Yosei, Letzad, Sadeh Chaver, you would sort of bend the ends of the branches at the top of the wall toward your friend's property. Ukshia Sonek, Ahutim, Ishiyichlo Echad, Yitain Es Chavero, Yisnefenu Mibachutz. In order to appreciate this, it would be advisable to look at the Pirush Chai, picture 46, which has a construction of slats with branches that are inserted, additional branches inserted facing the neighbor's property. Continuing in the Gemara, Pihachi, if you're suggesting this type of construction that was illustrated in picture 46, Hashta Nami Gayez Peshodi Le, the Omar Didi Vididehu, well, if these additional branches that are inserted in the slat work are facing the neighbor, he can easily remove them and claim that the wall was jointly constructed. The Gemara says, but it's not just adding these branches. Rather, Mishrak Leitina, we're suggesting that he smears a coat of cement over them. The Gemara asks, Hashtanami Osi Chavrei V'Kolotlei. Well, he can peel away the cement, remove the branches, and claim the wall jointly constructed. The Gemara says, Kilufa Meida Yadia. Well, if he does this, he peels it off, it'll be obvious, and we'll see foul play. Abaye, Omar. Abaye, addressing the issue of making signs on this type of branch wall, he says, Hutza lesle takanta ela bishtora. The only solution that I can offer is write a contract, a document, indicating that it was constructed by one party only. We'll take a look at the Rashi, Ela Bishtora, Im Oso Ha'echad, if it's a situation where the wall is constructed by only one party, Yovi Eidim V'Yachtemulo. So he should write up some type of document and have witnesses sign the document that he is the sole builder of the wall. However, there's another scenario. V'im Asahu Shnayim, let's say the branch wall was in fact constructed jointly by the two neighbors, Yaidu Eidim, the Yachtamu, and let witnesses come and testify to that effect and sign their testimony. Abai is of the opinion that peeling off the cement from a branch type construction would not be obvious. Continuing in the Gemara, Avol im osu midas shehem. And in our Shas Ozer edition, we wrote in the continuation that appears in the Mishnah. It says there, Bonin et hakoso v'emsa, v'oisin chozes mikan u'mikan. Before we continue, we'll look at the topic heading that we have on the outside of our margin with the structure reference as well. We see these triangles. The triangles in this Gemara, as your eye scans down, you'll notice they're changing position each time. We often refer to this as ma'akav, the play-by-play feature. The point up are she'ilot. Im oisin mechitza ve'emsa lomo yesh tzorach lechazis mikan u'mikan. If they're making the wall in the middle, what is the need for a double sign on both sides? And the triangle pointing down, Shuvo be responses to that. Amale, the Gemara continues, Amale Rava mi Parzika, the Ravashi. Rava from Parzika suggests, Lo yasu lo zeh ve lo zeh, that let there be no choses made, and that will show that it was done, it was constructed jointly. Amale, lo sricha, the suggestion of the Mishnah is necessary, the kodim chad minayu, the avad bidei, the ilo of the chavrei, Omar didehu, the situation where one fellow made a sign on his side, where he jumped ahead, so to speak, and made a sign on his side. And if the other guy doesn't make a sign, the one that did make the sign will claim it as his only. Omar lei. So the question arises, the Tano, Tatanto, the Ramai Komashmulon, the Tano teaches a solution for us to solve the problem of thievery. To have a section of the Mishnah teaching a solution in anticipation of thievery is an odd thing. Omar lei. Oh, that's what bothers you. For Reisha, al tatanta l'ramayhu. In the Reisha, where the Mishnah suggested that if the wall is constructed on one property alone, exclusively on one side, the Mishnah didn't hesitate to say, make a sign from the outside. Is that not a solution preempting the act of thievery? Amale. Hi, Mai. How can you compare the Reisha situation to the Seifa situation? Bishlamo Reisha. I can understand the Reisha where it's discussing constructing a wall on one property alone. Tana Dina, the Tana taught something of legal value regardless of thieves, and in the context of teaching that point that had legal value, and we'll go over this in a moment. Omishum Dina Tana Tatanta, and by the way, it added a procedure that would preempt underhanded behavior. Ella Seifa. Dino Katani de Katani Tatanta. Notice we wrote in Bitmiya. This is to help the enunciation, the intonation more accurately, the intonation of the Gemara. And I'll read that again. Ella Seifa. Dino Katani. Does Seifa teach a point of law that warrants a teaching preemption of thievery? So we're going over this piece of Gemara now in the Rashi. We said Tana Dina, Rashi more or less across from here. Hoil Ubika Ein Minhag Lidor. Since the grain field, there's no practice of constructing walls. Ein Yochol Achufo. So the one who wants the wall can't force the other fellow to participate. That's a point of law. That given a situation that you're in a Bika, so the Mishnah reveals to us what the bika is, what the nature of a bika is. So it tells you, you want a wall, so this is what you do. So up to that point, there's no reference to thievery. That's a point of law. If you're in a situation where there's no minute, so withdraw into your domain and construct the wall over there. The aidi, the tanadina, and by the, and along with teaching this point of law, tanatatanta, yotzechazes, and gives you a good eitza, gives you a piece of advice, and wine, and you ought to, you should make a sign from the outside indicating that the wall is exclusively yours. Mishum Ramai, because in anticipation of an underhanded behavior of the neighbor. And well, Seifa, Dina Lo Tana. The Seifa doesn't teach us any point of novelty, new law. The Hop Shita, Dim Osu Midash Nehem Ta'aseh Mishel Shnei, because that's the point that's called in the Sefer is obvious, that if it's if it's done with the idea and the plan of both parties, so both will be contributing. The kula mishum takata hu detanya. That seifa that taught that you make the chazis from both sides is taught only for the purpose of preempting an act of underhandedness, and that's what's bothering the Gemara. How could there be a section of the Mishnah that has no novel point of law and is teaching something simply to preempt the act of thievery? The Gemara continues. Omar Ravina. You see the triangle is pointed out as a response. Hacha Bahutzi Askinan. We're talking about, in this section of the Mishnah, a wall made of branch material. And the Mishnah is suggesting making a sign on the wall, Lafuke me da Abaye, to the exclusion of Abaye's opinion, whom we saw earlier, the Omar. What did Abaye say? And it's a quote from him. That's what Abaye said. The Hutz have no solution other than some type of document. The Mishnah is telling us that it is sufficient to have a sign constructed on the branch wall. Mishnah.